RandomChatter.com presents
Oliver Queen,
an Arrow podcast.
Now I will fulfill my father's dying wish.
Dedicated to the discussion of the Arrow television series.
Bring down those who are poisoning my city. To do this, I must become someone else. I must become
Green Justice. Welcome back, everybody, to Green Justice, an Arrow podcast. I'm your host, Jay.
And they call me Josh.
And you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show Arrow, with discussion and commentary on all the various episodes. So this week, Josh, Oliver makes a promise to Adrian that he'll put an arrow through your heart. Round and round, what goes around comes around. And I think that's very appropriate here. This is a game changing episode. This was a really surprising episode. I actually would go as far to call it epic, and I probably say that because from the very first shot, the whole thing captivated me. I'm like, whoa! Look, an outdoor shot that's not Vancouver. That takes us outside of Starling City or Star City and everything. And so I was really impressed by this. I said to somebody, I thought it might be the best episode of the season so far. And, it really, I feel, kicks off the start of the third act of the season. It really ups the stakes for whatever else is going to go on here.
One thing I think it really established is why Prometheus is such a tough bad guy. It really showed how, because now that we know who it is, before, Prometheus could have been anybody and could have been so hard to defeat for a lot of reasons. We saw magic last season, so who knows what it could be, but now we just see it's just this psychopathic genius who's got this plan, and he's really, really, intimidating. I mean, I'm with you. It definitely put a villain on Oliver's level.
And I think, he's really smart. And it's not one of these, people that I don't feel like the reasons are kind of manufactured for the show. I mean, they are, but it feels right. And I'm hoping to use this next hour here to kind of talk about what's working and why does it feel right, and what's going on here with the episode, and where are they going to go with this?
It's always good to record with you when you're excited about an episode. So that's a lot of fun, and I'm glad to hear that, and I can't wait to talk with you about it.
Cool. I hope I don't run out of steam early then. So, why don't you give us the specs on this particular episode, and then we'll move on.
Okay, episode 16 of season 5. Still can't believe we're in season 5. This is awesome.
I know.
Aired March 15th, 2017. Ooh, the Ides of March.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh,
they're upon us.
Yes, they are. It was called Checkmate, written by Beth Schwartz and Sarah Tarkoff, and directed by Ken Shane. Well, Oliver has climbed the tallest mountains, crossed the widest seas, in search for answers to the secrets of Prometheus. When, really, he could have just watched the end of last week's episode. But, hey, you do what you got to do, you know. Well, his old training buddy, Talia, she reveals that Adrian Chase is actually Prometheus. And she's an Al Ghul. And she hates him for killing her father. He's really received a trifecta of bad news for the week. But you know what? Even armed with this new information, Oliver's hands are tied because, Susan Williams' hands are tied by Adrian Chase. And until they find her, Oliver can't stop him. This game of back-and-forth strategy is leading to the ultimate chess match between the two adversaries. Well, trying the Pike defense, Oliver tries giving hard evidence about Adrian to Captain Pike, but that only leads to the good captain lying in a coma in the hospital.
Whoops.
Well, the team's trying to help track Susan down, but Felicity's been spending a lot of time with her new friends at Helix. They want her to start making some moves for them in payment of, you know, for giving her all that good intel that she's been using. Right. So she uses the Helix attack in this game of chess to track Susan down and go to rescue her. But of course, it's a big trap with Prometheus waiting there. Never fear, though. Oliver uses the Queen's Gambit move when he brings Chase's wife in to reveal to her the devastating truth about her husband. And that's a check, Prometheus.
Ha ha.
Yeah, well, Chase responds with his final move when he kills his own wife, beats up on Oliver, and has Talia shoot him from behind. Checkmate!
Well, I thought you were going to tell me that the Queen's Gambit was really Oliver drops a boat on Prometheus this week.
I thought he should have tried that. I mean, that probably would have worked well.
It couldn't have been any worse, I guess, than everything else that happened on here.
That is true.
Oh, well, all right. So,
like you said, big episode. Big moves and a big episode.
And I think what was great about this is that we feel like we know what the bad guy is all about now. Now, that may or may not be the case, but we can lay out what his plans are, and the fact that it's someone that has kind of been under the radar, though there have been hints, as we pointed out last week, it takes some of the early scenes with Adrian Chase and kind of puts them on their head when you look at the dialogue and stuff was used. So first topic.
You know
here
what? Mentioning that, just because we've been speculating all season about who people are, now we don't know who Vigilante is.
Now we don't know who Vigilante is. Right? Exactly. It's Paul.
Oh, okay.
Seriously, I think it's Paul. It's Curtis's Paul.
That could be Paul. Yeah. He's kind of a tiny guy.
I don't know.
We'll find that out later. Don't worry.
at this point, I don't. You know what? I don't even care if they go back to Vigilante. They could just drop him and forget about him. At this point, it might be better because I think they did a nice little misdirect here, and I think they even did a bigger twist in this particular episode that I feel real guilty that I didn't even think about this as something they, you know, that they were looking to do, given all of the callbacks and stuff that they were talking about to season one, you know, with and parents and lineage and stuff like that. But we'll get onto that. First thing I want to talk about is Prometheus Unbound here, which was actually that's the name of a Percy Bysshe Shelley poem, but
I thought you were going to say a cologne. I don't.
Oh, but in this case, Josh Segarra gets to go full on psycho, dude. and boy, is he chewing up the scenery on this. I was saying how likable this character was. The character is still very likable. Josh does a really good job with this, but just to see Oliver ensnared in this trap, and you know, I'm like Oliver, I'm feeling kind of trapped, right? We're watching this, and Adrian keeps saying that, you know, I'm 10 moves ahead of you and you don't even know what game we're playing. And Oliver's like, I'm going to go to your house. Well, nope, he's already thought about that. I'm going to kidnap your wife. Dude, we are so beyond that. Oliver, you really got to up your game because...
You know what Oliver needs to do?
What's that?
He needs to make 11 different plans.
Okay,
just do
more.
All. Yes, just do all 11. And I mean, Chase keeps telling him, I'm 10 steps ahead of you. Oliver should be going, okay, I better do 11. All right.
Well, and we had moments in the show where Adrian Chase is in front of the board meeting that Oliver bursts in on, and he's like, you look okay. Have you not been sleeping, or have you been asleep this whole time? You know, little things like that. Oliver is giving the speech to the city about how he's going to bring down the Green Arrow now. And he's like, I will not stand for any more terrorism from anybody. And he kind of keeps giving the side eye to Adrian Chase. And it's great how these two characters are in this public these public arenas, you know, in front of everybody, but they're having their own little private feud that nobody else knows about. And I don't know. I thought that was really cool. He's very much a con to Oliver's Kirk, if we're talking like Star Trek II. And my question to you is, obviously, Oliver is in quite a pickle at the end of the episode here. I did not, you know, I don't think I stayed and watched the preview for next week's episode.
Oh,
so
you,
I don't even.
You didn't? Oh, well, you thought Josh Segarra was good this week. I think next week we're going to get an even bigger treat.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I just turned it. Man, I can't even remember turning off the TV last night. I was kind of on a high from this episode, so that was a good thing. But I sometimes then forget that they have the little preview at the end. So, so I'm kind of wondering, what do you think Oliver's plan is going to be? Like, obviously, like Talia said, you know, she didn't teach him how to get out of manacles or you know, shackles or whatever. So.
Well, what do I think his plan is going to be, huh?
I mean, other than just escape and stop this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Oliver, we need a better plan than that.
I don't know that he has an actual plan yet, but I think he's going to have to do what Oliver or Green Arrow, I guess, does. When you get into these situations, you take it all in. You know, you kind of absorb everything you can about your adversary and your situation. And then from there, you figure out how to use what you have. I think that's what he's going to have to do. Because like you said, I mean, he's in a pickle here. I don't think he'll have a plan until he absorbs all that. And then, you know, when you do see that preview for next week, you'll see that's going to be really difficult. Because Chase has big plans for him. He is not going to kill Oliver. He's never planned to kill Oliver.
Right,
so
he's been honest about that. That's, you know, Oliver keeps thinking it's all about, you know, go ahead and kill me. It's like, I keep telling you from the beginning, I'm not going to kill you. So that's got to be tough. This quote from The Matrix kept popping into my head for some reason during this episode. I just want to share this with everyone because Oliver, you know, the title of the episode is Checkmate, right? Which, when I first heard about it, I thought we were going to be getting the intelligence agency called Checkmate, which is, it's kind of like Argus, you know, or S.H.I.E.L.D. or something like that. In comic books, it's just an intelligence agency in the DC universe. But they were going for the more, the chess metaphor, like you did in your opening brief, which was very well executed there.
Oh, thank you.
So Oliver is a very two-dimensional thinker, whereas I see Adrian Chase, he's playing like a three-dimensional version of chess. So, you know, he's...
Ooh, I like that.
He's saying he's like, you know, 10 moves ahead. But the quote from The Matrix that keeps popping in my head is, Oliver can't see past the choices that he doesn't understand. And that's what they kept saying about Neo in the forgettable, I think it was the third part of the Matrix trilogy. But
I happen to like all three of the Matrix movies. I'm just saying. But
the third, I rewatched them recently around Christmas time, and I think that's probably why it sticks with me. But the third one, when I wasn't anticipating what I thought they should be doing and just watched it for what it is, it's not horrible. I would have liked other stuff. Anyway, what does that mean? What does Oliver can't see past the choice he doesn't understand? He, first off, he's coming to grips with a whole bunch of information. First, he thinks he has an ally, and now all of a sudden he realizes his ally is his enemy, and that puts everybody at risk. That puts himself at risk and all this other kind of stuff. But he doesn't understand why Adrian wants to do this stuff to him. He doesn't even understand what Adrian wants to do to him, really. So Oliver can't process this. It's a, like I said, it's a very two-dimensional kind of thing. It's Oliver's trying to move left or right or forward or back when Adrian Chase is moving up and down and you know, working on these multiple planes and stuff like that. It's
yeah.
It's like you said, he doesn't know what game they're playing.
Yeah, I like how you described him as a two-dimensional thinking versus the three-dimensional thinking, because Oliver really likes things. I think this is a kind of a common mistake of people's thinking in the real world, too. He wants things to be a certain way, and he thinks everything should kind of fall into place if you do the right thing. And that's just not how it is. You know, Chase anticipates what Oliver is going to be doing, and he makes it so it doesn't work out. That's very frustrating to Oliver, which is why he trashes his cave and destroys a TV that I can't even afford, which made me very angry at him, by the way. Chase has understands Oliver so he can push him to be this frustrated and kind of unhinged. And that's been Oliver's downfall. So when you ask what Oliver's plan is going to be, I don't think he has a plan yet, but I think he's going to have to realize that he's got to start thinking like Chase and not like Oliver.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Chase gives this little – I had to rewind this scene and watch it like three times here, because Chase says that Oliver helped – Oliver helped Chase discover who he really is. That was the secret that he let Susan in on. And then Chase says he's going to help Oliver do the same. It was the phrasing was kind of weird on this, I think is what kind of threw me. But basically, what I got is Chase is going to help Oliver discover who he really is. Does that sound right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought.
So, I mean, that's been the whole – that's been 4.5 seasons here. That's what we've been sitting here talking about and watching for 4.5 seasons is – hasn't it? Oliver's been trying to figure out who he is.
Oh, sure.
So does
– He still doesn't know, I'll point out. And I think we've even mentioned that he may never know.
Right. Well, and we're seeing in the flashbacks the fact that he's discovering that there's this other persona that he can adopt, you know, to let the darkness out and kind of keep it contained, right? This hood character and stuff like that. So is Oliver going to have some kind of epiphany, or is – I felt it was kind of going to be like a brainwashing thing where Chase is going to hold him and try to convince Oliver, like you said earlier, using, you know, pushing him in all these different ways because he knows Oliver so well. He's going to push Oliver to believe that he is something that he is not. And of course, I believe Oliver is going to have to come to the realization of who he really is, which is probably going to align with a lot of the stuff that we've seen already, but there may be some new revelation in there as well, being the fact that we're coming to the close of the fifth season and kind of completing a circle here, I guess, as it were, at least with the flashbacks. And, you know, Chase is going to push him that way. Did you have similar thoughts with that?
That's very similar to what I was thinking. And when he says, you know, he's going to help him discover who he really is, I think he's going to help him discover who Chase thinks he is, you know, that's how Chase perceives him. And this is what bad guys do. They, have an idea that is set in their head of why something happened. They blame something bad on somebody and they try to take it out on them. In this case, Chase seems to be blaming Oliver for something, which we'll find out a little bit more of. Was it his father's death like they had originally thought, or was it something more than that? He's going to blame Oliver. I agree with you. I think Oliver's going to start to believe some of that and wonder if that's who he is. And then the way he's going to ultimately win is by realizing he's not that, you know, it's like the Val Kilmer Batman said, he can be both. He's got to save both people. How's that for reference? Full reference that Batman.
Wow.
Not the Dark Knight or anything.
I'll take your word for that. I don't know that one too well.
He's got to be both Oliver Queen and Green Arrow. He's come to that realization before, and I think that's what's going to ultimately save him is when he reveals that to Chase, that, hey, this is who I really am, not who you think I am.
Oliver and then Queen he'll stab him through the heart killed my father, sad, bad dude. So, all right. Well, the other, I don't know why I'm so like fixated on this particular mystery, because it's probably the least important aspect of this particular episode. But who was it that stabbed Pike? Was it? I mean, it. I, at first, I thought, of course, it's got to be Adrian Chase. You know, just in a hoodie and whatever. We don't. I don't think we see the weapon. It's very, you know, circular in the fact that he, you know, if it was him, he stabs Pike. He also stabs his wife. But it was never really made clear. That's what the team thinks, but that's not, then, you know, they're like, it's not really his MO.
I think the only other person that it possibly could have been was Talia. And it just didn't appear to be Talia that, you know, walking away and
I was checking the butt shape and it was not. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it was Chase. The reason they didn't reveal that, is because Pike didn't die. It looked like he is probably going to die or might die. Mm-hmm. But because he didn't, you know, they didn't want to make it so obvious in case Pike could identify him. Not that he would really have to Oliver, but, that would be damning to Chase,
right,
in the media, right, because he doesn't really have any leverage over Pike. But he has all kinds of leverage on Oliver and his friends.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I just, again, it, like, those are the two people I thought it could be. So I don't know. It doesn't really matter. And the other cool thing about this episode is, as we've discussed in the past, there's a lot of time that I've always, and I blamed it on the writing, that the writing gets sloppy, that they write the characters stupid, because that's what's necessary for, the particular plot that they're working on. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, Josh, they address like 90% of my immediate issues in this. One of the things that I saw was, so Mr. Terrific and Black Canary go to the mom's house, and he sends his T-sphere. He tells her, you know, it's not just a ball or whatever she called it. It's a T-sphere, and he sends it upstairs, and she's like, okay, I'll go check it out. And he's like, no, don't you know, you know, in every horror film, you don't go upstairs, right? And so he stops her with, you know, from executing a very cliched trope from, you know, these kind of shows and from horror films and stuff like this. Then we're in the building at the end and they're going off on their own, and I'm like, oh my god, they're just going to explore, and I'm like, why doesn't he use, and then all of a sudden he pulls out his T-spheres and he sends them on ahead, and I'm like, thank you. Like that, you know, it was a very simple little piece, but I was starting to come out of the episode because I saw the potential. Again, this is just the way that the show's been for me. This kind of stuff kicks in. I start looking for the problems because it doesn't engage me. And then it engaged me, and I kind of forgot about that kind of stuff. So I just felt, you know, the confluence of the acting that they had going, the way they did the reveal of Prometheus and the portrayal of that and the buildup that they've done, it's all like kind of just fitting into place, which I thought really worked out.
Well,
sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, you tell me your other example, and then I'll tell you how I felt about that.
Oh, I was just going to say, and then they throw this extra twist in, which, listen, this is what I thought was going to happen. I didn't see this coming at all. And, so we have him visit Talia at the beginning. Now, we've been talking about Talia, right? She's Talia al Ghul. We know that. I mean, we know who Talia is from the comic books. We might know who Talia is from, The Dark Knight Rises, mm-hmm. The last Christopher Nolan, Batman film. But what I failed to realize in all of this is that she has never really revealed herself to Oliver. He only knows her name is Talia. She never said who she was. So he's never connected through all the dots. And at the end of season three, he killed her dad. He also killed, well, supposedly, he killed Adrian Chase's dad, Simon Williamson. Simon Williamson? Shoot. If that's the guy's name, that's Wonder Man's name from, or Simon Williams maybe is Wonder Man from the West Coast Avengers. Anyway.
Anyway. So I don't know. I can't remember, so.
So the twist that I thought it was going to be before they revealed that Talia was in cahoots with him, which I thought was, of course, it was, you know, one of those things that was kind of right there in front of us. And again, with all the relations to the first season that we've talked about. Mm-hmm. But I saw Spartan bring the wife in, and she's accusing him of, like, how could you do this? How could you kill these people? And I'm a little, I realized I was standing up out of my chair, and I'm like, she's in on it. I thought they were going to do the twist where they embrace, you know, and she was going to grab an arrow out of his backpack and stab Oliver or something like that. And it was going to be like they brought her, because I felt something was weird with her in the earlier scene where she encountered Green Arrow.
Right.
But then of course, they turned the tables on me and they killed her. And I like that. I like that they were still able to surprise me. And, you know, they had me guessing one way, and they took me in an entirely different direction. And, you know, I was excited about what was going on with that. I thought that was pretty cool.
Oh, it painted a huge picture of who Prometheus is, who Adrian Chase is, and, you know, made him even more scary because he did that to his own wife. And you could tell he loved her, you know. I mean, he did it because it was what he had to do to accomplish his ultimate evil goal, right? I agree with you. It shocked me.
He's got nothing to lose. That's why he's a scary villain, because Oliver could just kill him right there. But like he says, he'd be losing himself and he'd lose Susan. You know, is he willing to make that extra sacrifice? And the choice Oliver made is no. And so he's got him hook, line, and sinker.
Yep. Yep. So, well, I agree with you on it. All of that made me excited about this. And the biggest thing, like you said, the characters acted the way I would expect the characters to act. They were smart. They were going in with a plan. You know, Diggle was always there to talk to Oliver about what he thinks, you know, when Oliver isn't thinking clearly. You know, he's there with him. Yeah. And a lot of that may have had to do with the directing, you know, and we've talked about how the director can sometimes make a big difference on in making these episodes enjoyable. And I think they did a really good job on this, especially with that interaction between Oliver and Adrian when people were around, you know, and also that scene in the hospital when they were standing by Pike and Oliver grabs him by the lapels and just is you know, you could tell he wanted to kill him right there, and he just couldn't. He couldn't do anything about it. He was basically being held hostage right there. My one biggest complaint about it, my only complaint about the way they acted, and this is not atypical or unrealistic. This is probably happens all the time in the real world. It's how he continued to tell him, "I'm going to kill you. I'm going to do this. I'm going to beat you. I'm going to defeat you." When Not because he didn't have the upper hand, but man, you're antagonizing the guy. That's exactly what he wants. He wants you to be so mad that you're saying these things. And I'm just like, stop, you know, think clearly and stop. And Wild Dog did it too. You know, he got right up in his face and told him how he wanted to shoot him or something like that. And he's playing right into his hands.
Yeah, in City Hall, he was threatening him. Wild Dog was. Yeah.
I mean, just don't even. And this is more, you know, a teachable moment for me as a parent or a teacher or something. You know, this is what I would tell one of my students: don't respond. Just let that brush off you. Don't let it get to you.
Yep.
But they were all letting it get to him, which is, you know, why Prometheus is so good at what he does.
The only problem I had, and this is something that came up the other week and I just never mentioned it, is the fact that it's a total thing and probably went over a lot of people's heads, but they talk about downloading a petabyte of data from the mom's computer. This is, now granted, the mom is probably knows what Adrian Chase is up to, But let me just tell you, a petabyte is 1,024 terabytes. Or to put it in, you know, numbers most people understand, it's over a million gigabytes. A gigabyte, right? Like you have a 32 gigabyte phone. Just think how big that is. Think about a million of those. That's a petabyte. My mom doesn't even have like a 100 gigabyte hard drive on her. Like there's no way someone can have a petabyte of data on her home computer.
See, I got that package from DirecTV. I got a million gigabytes. Okay. That's what I'm paying for. Is that did I get a good deal? They did throw in the NFL Sunday ticket in there, so.
Josh, if you are happy with it, then it's the best deal you can hope for. That's, I will tell you that. So.
Oh.
Phew. Yeah. All right. So, you added some stuff to the notes here about the way that, Oliver's pain is being reflected and stuff like that and some philosophy. If you wanted to touch on those.
Yeah, this may come into play more next week than this week just because now that I know, they're going to be he's going to be locked up and Chase is going to be tormenting him. As I was saying how that he kept yelling at Chase or telling him he's going to kill him, he's not going to let him do this. He's not going to let him win. I just kept thinking, okay, you got to stop this because this is kind of how I live my life, right? This is my philosophy of life. And we see this with a lot of superheroes. We see this on Flash as well. But everything you do in your life is going to affect people. Oliver is feeling like he can't be close to anyone because it's causing them pain or they suffer or they die. He's sitting on the steps after he trashed his cave and Diggle's talking to him. But bad things are going to happen in life no matter what. If you do nothing, bad things are going to happen. But if you make decisions, sometimes they're going to happen. Well, Oliver has put himself in a place where he's doing a lot of really good things for his city and for other people. He's saving people. And that means he's made these choices that are going to harm others. It's going to put people in harm's way and more than it would if he didn't.
Right. It's that... It's the inherent risk of anyone who is in a, in a life-saving kind of situation, like you were talking about earlier with cops, or firefighters, something like that. It's just, there's a risk that's inherent with that job description.
So he's making that decision and you have to weigh the good and the bad, and I know that he looks at the bad more often for himself and he just kind of mopes about it almost sometimes, not so much this season, but he has in the past. But my thing about that is how you react to those situations is really what makes you the person you are, so bad guy Chase, and it even looks like maybe Talia, they're reacting with revenge. Chase is reacting with revenge on Oliver. He's trying to destroy Oliver, not even just kill him, just make him suffer. And Oliver, on the other hand, when something like that happens, when something bad happens or somebody does something, he's not acting out of revenge. He's trying to fix what has happened. If it was his mistake, he's trying to make up for it and improve it or make amends with somebody. If somebody else did it, he's trying – like when what's his name? Slade.
Deathstroke.
Deathstroke, yeah, right. When he was attacking the city, right, Oliver was trying to stop him, save the city, and make up for everything that he had, kind of been responsible for. But he's not the one that pulled the trigger, so to speak. He's not the one that made it happen. So the way they react makes you a difference between the good guy and the bad guy. And that's how I try to look at things because I know, a lot of bad things have happened in my life and what you have to do is react in a way that you believe is best. And I think ultimately that's what Oliver is going to see. Chase is going to make him try to see it his way and make him feel guilty for everything that's happened. But I think Oliver is going to ultimately triumph, I hope, by seeing that he's doing what he believes is right. But I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be totally wrong about that. Maybe if he just stopped, everything would clean up Star City. Everything would be peachy keen and Disney would open another park there. I don't know.
Well, you know, I mean, there's always two sides to every argument. I mean, there, you know, there's Oliver believes that, you know, he knows what's right for the city and what, you know, the way that he wants stuff to happen. And Chase obviously has an entirely different philosophy about what's going on, whether he's deluded or whether, you know, it's just a different perspective of, you know, what's going on and who's responsible and things like that. It's, you know, it's, I think that's what makes for a compelling villain. It's really great you brought up Slade because he was really, I feel, the last compelling villain that we got on the show. I didn't think, what's his face from last season?
Ra's al Ghul?
No, well, Ra's al Ghul was okay. There's so much baggage that comes with that character that I felt it was a little hard. No, not Malcolm Merlyn. Damien Dark,
right.
It was a waste. I go back and listen to any of my... Go back and listen to the season 4 episodes of our podcast if you want to hear my thoughts.
It's a much
on that,
more flamboyant kind of performance of a villain, you know. So, and I see what you're...
And John Barrowman plays Malcolm Merlyn. I mean, you know, so that's saying something when you're saying that Damien Dark was more flamboyant about that. So, anyway, I am really looking forward to see where they go with this. There's a lot of cool stuff going on. Before we run out of time, there are two other things that I absolutely want to talk about. First one.
Okay.
Helix. We've not covered this a lot because there's been other stuff we want to discuss, and this is now becoming, this is coming to a big head, because, basically the rent is coming due, and Felicity is, you know, being put in danger, I guess, but
it's what they call a slippery slope there.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Now, there is a supervillain group called Helix from the comics. It was a group that fought Infinity Incorporated back in the mid-80s. It was created by Roy and Dan Thomas, and Todd McFarlane was the artist. And it's not anything really like what we're seeing here in the show. You know, it's just a... Helix is just a name. I thought for a minute it was a group that was entirely run by women, and then I realized just there were some dudes with long hair in the background too. So it's, which would have been interesting if it was a Helix group that had this Pandora thing, you know, the Pandora myth, and it was all run by women. I thought that would have been kind of interesting, but it doesn't look like that's what they're doing. But, you know, it went from her, you know, using this data cache to hacking DHS drones, which, wow, that escalated really quickly there. And, you know, my thoughts or my questions to you are, you know, how far will she actually go with this group before she realizes what's going on? And you know, of course, will it be too late at that point?
Yeah, I think she's starting to realize now, when she was going in there to try to find Oliver, a different friend that's being held. I think she was, you know, being a little cautious, like, oh, I gotta get this and stuff. I can try not to let him know, or at least, you know, try to downplay it a little bit. Will it be too late? I think it's already too late because I think she's in. How's she going to get out? If she tries to get out, I don't think they're going to let her, and they could destroy her, as we've seen. I mean, they have the power to pretty much destroy anybody. They've got intel on just about everybody.
Well, they probably know who Oliver is. I mean, if they know her, they probably hacked all of her stuff and have all of the secrets for the team.
Right. Or could easily if they haven't already.
If they don't, right.
So, I mean, I definitely think it's too late. I don't know I don't know what – I don't know that this will actually get resolved this season. I can see her staying with Helix all the way up till the end of the season and them having to deal with this next year. Because
I would like that. I think that's a great idea.
Well, it's a big deal. So I would hate for them to have to rush through the solution for this. Because like I said, I mean, they could completely destroy the team. They have that power. So what can she do to get out? I don't know. She would have to figure out some way to dismantle Helix.
Yeah. Well, and there would be a way for them to, you know, for her to not be with the team so that they can focus on some other characters. And, you know, she's working with the bad guys, but she can't really do anything to help Oliver. And, you know, it'll be about her ethical struggle of having to stay with them and, you know, what she could lose versus, you know, hurting the city or Oliver and her friends and stuff like that. It could be really interesting. Yeah. So, yeah, I agree. I think it's already too late, and I'm interested to see what's going with this. I still feel she should have realized this sooner, but I, you know, see that they're trying to get her into this position, and I felt that she was written a little bit better this week when she was interacting with this. The whole Helix thing, you know, wasn't as awkward for me, but it was the weakest part of the episode overall, just because it took us away from some stuff that I thought was really engaging. The final piece I want to talk about is the flashbacks. We had, I think someone on Twitter actually asked me to recap where we were with this because they had kind of lost the sense of like, what is it we're doing with these flashbacks? And I can see that we haven't been getting a huge amount of movement. But I feel like they've put a few more pieces in place. So the whole point of Oliver going back to Russia in the first place was so he could kill Konstantin Kovar, which is the Dolph Lundgren character. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to kill him because, what was the girl's name from the island?
Way back last season?
Yeah. Anyway, because his girlfriend from the island, when she died, she said, you need to take care of this man and kill him. So he made a promise. And so there's one thing Oliver does. He keeps his promises. So he goes to Russia and hooks up with Anatoly and the Bratva so he can bring down Kovar from the inside. So they've been trying to get the rest of the Bratva behind Anatoly and Oliver, you know, to align with them so they can defeat Kovar. Unfortunately, Gregor, who's the bearded, the other bearded dude, the blonde bearded dude, not the dark-haired bearded dude that's all beat up.
Yeah.
That's Anatoly. So Gregor, he stands in the way, but he's been taking money behind the rest of the Bratva captain's backs from Kovar for special purposes. I forget exactly what that was. So Oliver has a computer that reveals this, and that's where they had the little standoff at the end of last week. And a couple of the captains aligned with Anatoly and the rest aligned with Gregor. There's only one captain with Oliver and Anatoly because there was a shootout and Gregor escaped. All the captains died except for the one that's aligned with Oliver and Anatoly. And unfortunately, the laptop was shot. So it's destroyed, so they're at risk again of getting killed. So now what they need to do is they need to make sure they take down Gregor in full. So they go to the ice rink. They kill all of Gregor's men. They kill all the captains that have aligned with Gregor, and they kill Gregor. And that puts everything in place for them to wrap up with this whole storyline. And
wait, do you think Gregor's actually dead?
Yeah, isn't that what we saw? He got shot with the arrow, and then Oliver like ripped it out of him and
pulls it out through his shoulder, right?
Yeah,
I don't know that they showed him actually totally dead. I thought I kind of took it that he might still be
mostly dead.
Yeah, there you go. But you could be right. You could be right. I mean, it looked painful. That's for sure.
I heard him say "to blathe" at the end there, so it's it's close. He cheats at cards. That's all I can say. And so I think they're going to then take any other captains in the Bratva, align with them, they're going to confront Kovar in the next few episodes or whatever and probably get rid of Kovar. Also, Anatoly knows his women because he points out very presciently that Talia is going to cause all of her problems, big problems in the future. They were telegraphing it right there in the middle of the episode to us as well, and I still didn't see it. So, so where are we headed with the flashbacks here? Obviously, by in the next seven episodes, at the end of the seventh episode, if Mark Guggenheim is to be believed from way back 5 years ago, they're going to have Oliver on the island with the beard, shooting the flare in or the arrow into the pile of wood and getting rescued. So we've got to get from Russia. Oliver's got to grow his beard, get back on the island, and be trapped there, I guess.
Right.
So
what's here's how it's going to go.
Okay.
Oliver and Anatoly going to gather all the Bratva guys. They're going to corner Kovar in a testosterone plant. He's going to lock Kovar in there. It's going to explode, but Oliver gets trapped in the explosion, which causes his hair to grow rapidly. And Anatoly thinks he's dead. So Oliver leaves the Bratva by escaping back to the island. And there you go. That's how we'll end the season. Something like that.
Oh, okay. I thought it was that they were going to take it right up to the end, and then Oliver is flying home from Russia over China, and the plane crashes on the island. And he's like, this island again.
And then they'll end the season with him looking straight into the camera, shrugging his shoulders, and then they'll freeze frame, kind of like they did in the 70s, that kind of thing. All seriousness, I think they are going to go in there and get Kovar in kind of a big, epic Bratva battle. But I don't think Anatoly will send him back to the island because it didn't sound like they left on very good terms since he left the Bratva.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, Oliver's going to have to he's going to do what he promised, and then he's just going to say, okay, well, that's it. That's all I got. And yeah, I think that's going to put a rift between him and Anatoly then, based on the Bratva episode we saw in the present day, like, what, 2-3 weeks ago? So, or 2-3 episodes ago, I mean, so.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, I think that kind of catches us up with everything. We've got a little bit of feedback here. First one was from Andy, an email that he sent in, and I don't remember if we had discussed this at the time, but he said, hey guys, was listening to the show and the talk about Dr. Schwartz, and I had a couple of questions. The first was, is this the first time we've seen Dr. Schwartz? Because I don't remember.
Now, Dr. Schwartz is the doctor that was taking care of Oliver last week, right? In the hospital.
In the last episode. Yeah. Yeah. In the hospital. Right. The one that knows his secret, but wouldn't tell.
Right.
And yes, she was the one that took care of Laura when she was brought in with her injuries after being stabbed, and she kind of figured out that Laura was the Black Canary, and from there she figured out that Oliver was the Green Arrow, and she said she knew what the secret was, but she wasn't going to reveal it. So I believe that was the first time we saw her in that episode last season. And then he also says, and is Dr. Schwartz's first name Julie? Which I said, I don't know. I don't know that it's ever been revealed. He goes on to say, because it would be Julie, as in Julius Schwartz, who is a famous DC Comics editor. Julie Julius Schwartz. So I think that is most certainly a reference there, and I can't remember us talking about that before. So good call, Andy. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I agree. I do that stuff all the time, so why wouldn't that be one?
Oh, sure. Yeah. And then Benjamin said, our hero should really invest in a recording device to record all those incriminating conversations they have with Chase.
Agreed.
Yeah. I'm not sure why they are not.
So what Oliver needs to do, next time he grabs him by the lapel, He should just like lean in with one shoulder a little bit. He says, what are you going to do to me? Can you say that one more time, a little bit louder.
Speak into the carnation. And then Derek pointed out that Prometheus is Bane to Talia's Talia. So kind of a Dark Knight Rises vibe there as well. Very similar motivation and some similarities. But since I really didn't like the way they did some of that stuff in Dark Knight Rises, I am interested in seeing what's going on here. I thought that was kind of cool.
I like this a little better.
This is less convoluted, if that is possible.
Again, and this is, you know, it's probably more realistic here, but in life, if it was me, if I was in that situation, I honestly, instead of fighting, what I would have said as when I was in the mountains, first going to visit Talia, instead of fighting or giving up and going back, hey, everybody, Adrian, I would have sat down, Talia, I need to explain why I had to kill your father. You see, he stabbed me through the chest with a sword.
No.
And he was trying to kill everybody in my city. and I'm really sorry, you know. I mean, it was just – I just didn't know any other way out. I mean
– And you didn't like him either, Talia. That's why you split from him.
Yeah, by the way. But, yeah. Again, not necessarily what would happen in real life. That's just what I would have tried first at least.
You know what? I can say my dad is a jerk, but nobody else can, you know. So that's probably what it is. It's okay if I kill my dad, but not okay if you kill my dad. All right. One reference and one weird thing. Won't really. I put it here in the references, but it's not really. So Curtis at one point calls Chase's mom Norma Bates, as in the mother of the killer from Psycho, Norman Bates, which I thought was kind of funny. For a second there, I thought, wait a second. Wait, her name's not Norma, is it? But then I realized what he was doing, because they were going through so many different, like, oh, it's this person, but his name's really this, but the mom's name is something different. And it was like, unless they put up a chart later, I don't know that we need to know all that information. It's probably
we're the chart. We're the chart for everybody else. We usually explain those things to people.
Yeah, that's true. And then there was just this, one of these shots, like, I just see this kind of stuff. They had this shot of Dinah towards the beginning when they were kind of doing the briefing in the Arrow Cave, where she's like, we need to go to the SCPD with this information. And Oliver says, no, we can't do that. And she looks down and then she glances up and off to the side. It's a reversed shot. These kind of things just stand out to me, and I don't see people doing this stuff a lot, but basically it was a shot of her looking to the side and then looking down, and they reversed it. So she did the back, you know, the action backwards, and it looks fine except for the blink. When people blink, you know, it's a slower close and a faster open. And so this had a really, you know, fast close and a slower open. It was just, it's one of those things I just noticed just having worked with film a lot. So it's, I just thought I'd point it out. It wasn't a weird thing.
Wasn't quite as obvious as like that scene in the movie, Top Secret with, Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
where they filmed the entire thing backwards and then they just reversed. It wasn't that bad.
Are you bringing up Val Kilmer twice in this podcast?
This week's episode brought to you by Val Kilmer. So, you know, Peter Cushing was in that scene, too.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
So. A.K.A. Grand Moff Tarkin.
That's right.
All right. Well, we've degenerated enough now, going all the way back to Top Secret. So I think that's all we have for this week's episode of Green Justice. We really had a lot to say, I think, and I'm really excited to see what the rest of the season brings us. If you had told me a year ago that I would just say those words, I would have been like, really? They'd have to do something pretty incredible for me to say that. So, and I think they've been working hard.
I've said it before. I like that they take chances, and this the chance that they took this one, connecting it back to the first season stuff, has really paid off. At least it has for you and I. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see more. And hey, if you guys are excited and if you enjoyed this episode and us talking about it, If you could head over to iTunes and leave us a little feedback, we would love to hear from you. Also, we'd love to hear from you by having you contact us. Just email us at greenjustice@randomchatter.com, or you can check us out over on Twitter at greenjusticepod, and our Facebook page where we have some goodies over there, facebook.com/greenjusticepodcast.
And you can also check out the other shows that Josh and I host, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files and Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast, all via randomchatter.com. The shows are also available in the iTunes Store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And, of course, if you're enjoying the podcast, please be sure to tell your friends about us. Let them know that each week we're talking about some cool stuff here with Green Justice, you know, for Arrow. And remember, if you don't keep listening, you have failed this city.
What is this thing you are doing with your voice?
This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for Arrow can be found at www.cwtv.com. Green Arrow, Arrow, and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.